Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel. Back with Daryl in just a moment.
Time to take back your pastures from the parasites with Long Range, the first and only extended-release dewormer that takes just one dose. One dose for up to 150 days of effective parasite control. One dose for more weight gain in your cattle and more dollars in your back pocket. So this grazing season, send parasites packing and see your animals packing on the pounds. Because while there's a lot you can do for your cattle's health, nothing has greater economic impact than relieving the parasite burden. Ask your veterinarian or Behringer Ingelheim sales representative about season-long parasite control from Long Range. Or check out thelongrangelook.com.
Federal law restricts this drug to use by or on the order of a licensed veterinarian for use in cattle only, not for use in humans or other animal species. Keep out of reach of children. Not for use in breeding bulls or in calves less than 3 months of age. Not for use in female dairy cattle 20 months of age or older, including dry dairy cows or indel calves. Post-injection site damage such as granulomas and necrosis can occur. These reactions have disappeared without treatment. Not for intravenous or intramuscular use. Do not treat within 48 days of slaughter. Full prescribing information, visit thelongrangelook.com.
The Tyson beef plant out in western Kansas in Finney County that suffered fire damage continues to be shut down. For the most part, there's some processing going on at parts of the plant that were not damaged. However, the actual kill floor is where the damage primarily occurred, and it's primarily to the electrical system. They're working on that, getting it all repaired. The chief executive officer of Tyson had indicated at a recent investor conference that it'll be probably right at the end of the year, maybe January, before the plant will officially reopen. Livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel with us today. And Dr. Peel says that overall, the market has handled the shutdown of the Tyson plant fairly well.
Well, I would say in general that, you know, the response of this market to that, you know, sudden shock has actually been very close to what I would have predicted. Yeah. Now, we can debate, you know, the levels of the price adjustments that we've seen. But if you look at the slaughter response, you know, this plant was a sizable plant, about 5% of steer and heifer slaughter capacity. And yet, if you look at the daily slaughter patterns, slaughter totals that came in for the 2 weeks after that, which we now have data for, actual data, it shows that the industry did a remarkably good job with about a week's time of compensating for the loss of that plant and minimizing the reduction in slaughter the week after the plant, at least by the time you include a Saturday kill, and actually in the second week after the fire, put together a slight increase relative to the week before the fire. If you look at the boxed beef side of that, we shot up and we have come back down pretty dramatically, just, again, much as you would anticipate a market that's trying to scramble around and cover short supplies. You see that in the different primal levels and different reactions slightly in different markets, but all following the same general pattern.
Given all that's going on with the Holcomb plant plus everything else, what are you seeing right now in this slaughter cattle market?
We got a couple things going on. You know, again, if you look seasonally, Labor Day is essentially the seasonal low typically for fed cattle prices. That point was accentuated this year with the plant fire in August and the residual impacts of that. It's taking longer for the fed cattle market probably than any other market to bounce back from those fire impacts, simply because with the loss of that packing plant, we are pushing slaughter capacity pretty close to its limits at this point. And that gives limited flexibility, and I think that's part of what's keeping this fed cattle market on its heels. That said, as we go forward here over the next few weeks, that I do expect to see those effects sort of work their way through the market and out of the market, and that we will see a little bit of an opportunity here for some stabilization, if not a little pickup in these fed cattle prices.
Now, what about our stocker feeder market, Daryl?
Well, feeders, again, is a tough proposition. Seasonally, we're looking for weaker prices from August into September and then on into the seasonal low in October. So that's one factor. In the southern plains, and at least in Oklahoma with the data I've analyzed for many years, wheat pasture conditions can moderate that, especially in September. Good wheat pasture demand can actually stabilize or even pull up feeder cattle prices, especially the lightweight stocker-type cattle, in September, and then maybe mute the normal seasonal low that we would see in October. So that could be happening. On the other hand, feeder markets are very much skittish about what's going to happen with this corn crop and the potential for higher corn prices that could come out of that. So it's a mixed bag, and again, a very dynamic situation. I think one that, you know, whether you're selling calves as a cow-calf producer or thinking about buying stocker cattle, you really have to follow this market pretty closely here and sort out the dynamics as we go forward.
Livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
It's Pollard Farms' 22nd annual female production sale, Saturday, September 14th at the ranch in Waucomas, Oklahoma, featuring 194 registered Angus lots, or about 250 head. For more information or to download the catalog, go online to pollardfarms.com. That's pollardfarms.com, or you can call the ranch office at 580-758-1464. Pollard Farms' 22nd annual female production sale, Saturday, September 14th.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.